This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFKA.
Joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline of Broncos Country tonight, Benjamin Albright. And Benjamin, it never ceases to amaze me just how powerful the NFL is. And this something as simple as releasing a schedule of teams we already know they're going to play, but just giving us the dates and times and all that has become a monster thing now, not just the show itself, but the teams doing their own release videos. The NFL created yet another holiday. It's wild to me. And so I got nothing but respect for it, though.
Well, yeah. Anytime you have the opportunity to get a memo from the league telling you they're going to pull your credentials if you leak any more stuff ahead of time with regard to the schedule, you realize you've run up against a buzzsaw. It's weird because this is a thing, like, we know who they're playing. The only thing we didn't know is when they're playing, and they turn it into this state secret, sort of deal. And it's fascinating how every little thing with the NFL is marketable at that level.
Did you happen to watch any of the release videos from other teams, Benjamin? I'm sure you did. You watched a few, right?
I really have not.
Really?
I tend to avoid that stuff. Since I get the schedule a little early, it's just me sitting on it, that kind of thing. And so I tend to avoid all that kind of stuff. I need a few days vacation from the from the run-up to it, as I have to sit there and, sit on it like it's some state secret or whatever.
How is that process? So when you get this information early, how serious is the... They give it to you, but it's like, hey, here it is. If you screw up, here's what's going to happen. Can you divulge? Can you tell us a little bit about that, or is that also top secret, Benjamin?
Well, if I got it from the league or from teams, then I would be beholden to that. I get it through back channels. I don't really want to get too far into that process or whatever, but I've got somebody that hooks me up. And at the end of the day, then what happens is the team calls me and they're like, please, please don't release this. And then the league will send me an email like, we will take away your right to go to the combine if you release the, that kind of stuff, doing the little finger wag. So, that part of it, kind of is what it is. What do I do with it? Here at KOA, we're the Broncos partner, so we get all our stories and graphics and travel booked and all that kind of stuff ahead of time. Once that's done, then I tend to leak it to a few of my friends, yourself included. You got it a little bit early this year.
I did. I was very honored, by the way.
Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't be.
I was. I wanted to release it so badly, Ben. I was like, here we go. I have the scoop. I have the gold right here. But I didn't do it, because I didn't want you to hurt me.
Yeah. Well, it may be a mean glare, at that point.
I appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, I tend to, I tend to give it to my friends, and then the day of, I'll give it to my friends as well. And so that's, just so they can be prepared and everything else.
Benjamin, Colin Cowherd seems to think the NFL has it out for Sean Payton, and that's why the first six games are the first six games: Chiefs, Jags, Rams, Niners, Chargers, and Seahawks.
Well, the next time Colin Cowherd is right about something, it'll be the first time Colin Cowherd was right about something. Figure with a last name like that, he should be in herding cattle and not not talking about the NFL. The NFL does not have some sort of bias against Sean Payton. That is not a thing. If anything, the NFL helped cover up some of the Saints scandals that he had. It went well beyond Bounty Gate. I mean, there was Pillgate. Him and Joe Vitt were under investigation for stealing pills out of the team's medicine cabinet. That got kind of covered up. As far as that kind of stuff goes, the NFL uses AI to optimize schedules early in the season to try to maximize ratings. So that's why you get front-end schedules that seem sort of tough with that kind of stuff with marquee teams. And the Denver is now a marquee team. They won a lot of games last year. They got a young quarterback. They're considered a draw. And so, the idea that the NFL's punishing the Denver Broncos or Sean Payton or whatever is stupid. It's really just they used AI to try to generate ratings matchups early in the season, and that's what you got, good teams against good teams.
Yeah, well, and that's I guess the way I look at it, this is probably the wrong way to look at it. You got to play them anyway.
Right.
So if that's going to be six losses, is it going to be six losses right off the bat, or is it going to be six losses scattered throughout the season and then you win the rest, whatever happens? But I don't know. It's just weird to me.
Yeah, it's funny because if this had all been at the end of the season, you'd have the exact same complainer saying, the NFL is biased against the Broncos. Look what they did before the playoffs, is stack up all these losses and beat us up. So it's the same built-in conspiracy nonsense you get all the time.
All right, first game is going to be that first Monday night game. Does that tell us, I mean, you just talked about AI generating the biggest games of interest. Well, obviously that game's not as interesting if Patrick Mahomes isn't playing in that game. So is the NFL making phone calls to Kansas City? Hey, are we sure? How sure are you guys that Mahomes is going to be ready by September 14th?
Oh, yeah. And they believe that he is. Kansas City believes that he is. That the NFL believes he's going to be ready. So that would be a phenomenal recovery time. I mean, that would be a very accelerated recovery time. But they currently believe that he's on track to make that. Now, what his level of ability will be at that point is probably up for debate. But I tend to believe he's going to be the starting quarterback unless he has a setback between now and then.
And how about the other quarterback, Bo Nix? We've talked a lot about that ankle over the last few months, Benjamin, even though Bo probably doesn't want Sean Payton talking about that ankle or any of us. How serious is this thing?
Well, he had a little bit of a setback, and they're trying to pretend like it's all, you know, something that was scheduled and all that. I broke that story during the draft, and Sean Payton straight up lied to the media. I mean, just outright lied, pure fiction, saying that nothing had happened. And then all of a sudden, yeah, something did happen, except that it was scheduled, and we knew about it and all this kind of stuff. The reality is Bo had to pull out of the coaching the Oregon spring game to go get some work done on his ankle because of a little discomfort or whatever. Still on track to be ready by OTAs, and that discomfort is a normal part of the process, but the Broncos really botched the response on that one, and it made it look like something that was a bigger deal than it was.
Yeah, I think the whole process has just made it seem a lot worse. From the beginning of this, when Sean's talking about it, he's saying things like predisposed, and then Bo does his... how that went down, too. Bo having another follow-up press conference to basically say, Sean, keep my ankle's name out of your mouth. That whole, from start to where we are now, it just seems like the more they talk about it, the worse it looks.
Yeah, it's fascinating because, you know, Bo had to go full Will Smith on Chris Rock and Sean Payton there. You know, about the ankle and everything. And it was one of those things, like Sean, you know how Sean is. He you know, he gets a little over his skis sometimes and talking about things. And, you know, Sean, I don't want to say one of the worst things to ever happen to him, but one of the worst things to happen was, you know, he won that Super Bowl that early in a city that was starving for it like New Orleans. And so he kind of got this complex that he can do no wrong. He's you know, he's God. He can talk to the media any way he wants. And that may have worked down there in New Orleans where they owed him. You know, he brought a Super Bowl to a long-suffering franchise, all that kind of stuff. You're here in Denver, brother. They got six Super Bowls without you. Nobody here owes you anything. And so that's sort of, I think, a realization that he came to after kind of running his mouth about the Bo thing. It's like, wait a minute. You know, we started winning again post Nate Hackett, but this city does not hold me in the same reverence that New Orleans did. I probably need to dial it back a little bit.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Have you done a deep dive as far as, you know, research on this schedule, where you think they finish? Obviously, it's a much more difficult schedule than last season. I don't think the Broncos are going to be able to wait until the fourth quarter on a lot of these football games coming up. That all being said, how do you like the Broncos' chances of not only returning to the playoffs, but you know, potentially getting a high seed going deep? What do you think of this schedule?
Well, it's tough. I have them this year as a wild card team. I think they could be almost a better football team in terms of not having to have last second comebacks and all that kind of stuff and still finish with a worse record just because of the nature of the opponents that they're up against. You start the season off, first six games are brutal, last three games are brutal, and then you've got kind of a pretty easy stretch there in the middle, which is kind of nice. You know, there are five teams in the NFL this year that don't have a primetime game because the league thinks they're going to stink. The Broncos play four of them five times. You know, you get the Raiders, you get the Cardinals, you get the Jets, and I'm missing one in there somewhere. The only one they don't play is the Titans. The Dolphins, they play the Dolphins. The only one they don't play is the Titans. So there's a pretty soft, you know, kind of hollowed out middle of the schedule. I got them at 10-7. Now they could do better than that. I think you've got to get through week seven being 3 or 4 or better. I'm not saying they'll be 3 or 4, 3 and 4, but if you get to week seven at 3 and 4 or better, you're going to make the playoffs just based on the schedule.
Yeah, it's kind of, I'm flirting with that 9 or 10 mark. It seems like, and again, if you can if you can survive that first six, then like you said, the rest of the schedule kind of smooths out. And you know, that obviously there's teams that might pop up that are better than we thought they were going to be. One of those might be the Las Vegas Raiders this year.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the Raiders. So, not the dashed dreams of Raiders fans. I mean, I honestly, I don't think Mendoza's going to start the season. I think they really want to slow play him. They know that this is year one of building that thing to where they want to build it. And I don't think Mendoza even starts until midway through the season. We'll see. I mean, it's entirely possible they could start the season with him. But they brought in Kirk Cousins with the intention of Cousins starting the season and eventually giving way to Mendoza. So we'll see. We'll see how that shakes out for them. Some of these other teams, I mean, I mentioned a bunch of teams in the middle of the season. You know, Arizona's not going to be good. Miami's going to be laughably bad. Those teams are going to be – you have to win those games. You know, the Jets, they're not going to be good. So, I don't think that's it. If you're looking for up-and-comer teams that maybe weren't as good last year, New Orleans is one that jumps out at me. And then, you know, the other reason that I have the Broncos at 10-7, the Chargers are going to be better. In fact, I think the Chargers are the team to beat in the West this year. I'm not buying Kansas City, you know, being a year older, Mahomes coming off the injury, all that. I think the Broncos' main competition is the Chargers, who got a lot better on the offensive line. And, oh, by the way, that line gets healthy. You got Mike McDaniel as OC. The big question mark for the Chargers on defense with Jesse Minter gone, how that first-time NFL DC is going to look.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to ask you, you know, as far as the biggest competition for the Broncos, not just in the West, but on that schedule, who's the best team? The Broncos, I mean, you got obviously the defending Super Bowl champs on there. You got the Seahawks, but I tend to kind of lean in on that Chargers thing. I think they're going to be dangerous. But who is the best team as we sit here on May 18th?
The Chargers, Seahawks, you mentioned those two. That's up there. I think Buffalo is really kind of the moves that they made is kind of signaling like they believe this is their year. They're kind of the Saints northeast or the Broncos northeast now with Pete Carmichael and Jim Leonard being the offensive and defensive coordinators and Joe Brady, a former Sean Payton assistant, you know, being the head coach. So Buffalo and the Broncos have kind of gone head to head over the last couple of years, and you know it's been a back and forth. I think they're the team to watch out for. This kind of feels like their year if they stay healthy.
Benjamin, you mentioned the primetime games for the Broncos. Obviously, the two of them that really stick out is you got the Black Friday game, and of course you got Christmas again. So both of those ones certainly will be interesting, but that Christmas game against Buffalo at that stage in the season should probably be must-see television.
Yeah, it should be. Those last three games for the Broncos look pretty tough, and you know, you could wind up with a week 18 Chargers coming here, brawl for it all kind of thing. But you get Buffalo, New England, and the Chargers back-to-back-to-back. Two of those games at home, though, Buffalo and the Chargers here, so that's at least a send there. And then, you know, we like you said, you got Black Friday at Pittsburgh, you got Christmas at, here against Buffalo. My favorite thing about, my favorite things are about working on Black Friday and Christmas.
Go on.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's not fun, man. I'm glad I'm not in your shoes when it comes to that, man, because being at home Christmas time and then turning on the game is a little bit easier than an entire day dedicated to it.
Yeah, and I really feel bad. I think I'm complaining about it, but I really feel bad for like the unsung heroes, the producers and all that, because those guys got to be there super early in the morning to do all that. They've got it worse than I do. So, you know, I shout out to all the board ops and producers out there who make this stuff possible.
Benjamin, how far are we going to take all this? Because, you know, now you got the Black Friday game. That's a thing. We keep moving games around eventually. And I don't know if if mathematically you could have more games throughout the week, but do you see the NFL making crazier changes where we might even have a Wednesday game at one point, or more Wednesday games?
Well, 100%. And I mean, they're trying to sell all these different packages. Like, the NFL was trying to sell the Netflix on taking all the early Sunday games, the international package, and Netflix didn't want any part of that. They want they want events like Christmas and that kind of stuff. You mentioned Black Friday. I think Trump's trying to get them to call it White Friday. I don't know, whatever. But as far as this goes, yeah, you're going to see the NFL try to monopolize this stuff as much as possible. They're going to opt out of the broadcast rights deal in 2029, and it's going to be, it's going to be problematic for fans who want access to every game, because now it's not like Sunday Ticket where, you had it all in one place and you could do that. You got to subscribe to all these streamers, and the cost is getting out of control, and the league says it doesn't see a problem because of ratings, but anecdotally, fans are telling me they're reaching the breaking point on this stuff, and they don't want to be spending on 15 different streaming services just to try to get every game.
Yeah, it's frustrating, and I actually have all of these streaming services, but I'm old and I like to be able to press the simple recall button. You know, I you don't get it. You have to get in the app, get out of the app if there's other things going on. Those are the days I miss. Those were great. You know, you turn the TV on, it's on quickly. Now you got to wait for the smart TV to think. And I get I'm complaining about a luxury there, but at the same time, it's made it easier.
We've gone full circle, though. We've gone full circle, because now you're waiting for the TV to sync. Previously, you know, you used to have to wait for the cathode ray tube to warm up, and then you had to click the clicker over to the channel. You had to adjust the bunny ears with the foil on it. You know, so we've just come full circle.
Now we're right back to waiting, and you got to love that. Benjamin, always appreciate your time, my friend. I'm looking forward to it. Either way, it's going to be a very entertaining season, and hopefully the Broncos can make that return to the playoffs.
That it is. Looking forward to it, Brady.
All right, my friend. Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. He's sitting on the 10, Mike. That's kind of where I'm sitting. Sitting on the 10.
Well, you guys are seven short.
Yeah, I know. That's not real. I mean, I appreciate you going through that exercise with us on Friday where you just picked the Broncos to win every single game. One of these years, it might hit. But historically speaking, I don't think that looks good for you.
You know, I have been going through the schedule, and I do have all these streaming services. Don't know what's going on the last two weeks, but
We don't know yet. They're flex games, so we don't even know New England game and the Chargers game.
My wonder is if these games are on Peacock. I'm going to have to make a friend.
And we know how difficult that's been since Jimmy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had several friends, but I mean,
okay.
I don't want to have to go outside.
Why would you have to go outside to meet friends?
You have to go outside
to meet friends. Okay.
To go to someone else's house.
Ah, all right. 11:51 the time. We'll take a quick break here. I'll wrap up hour number one. We've got top stories of the day. The CSC is, they are practicing what they said they were going to preach, man. A lot of NIL dollars being turned away. Coach Prime in the news as well. And Mark Johnson's going to join us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Keep it here on the whole show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on winning the Colorado High School Coaches Association 2026 Media Award. Hear Coach speak with Bruce Dick, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.